This morning I'm going to continue a short series called The Mary Miracle. A number of weeks ago we began looking at the Mary Miracle, what God did in and through the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, was, if you will, a fountainhead. It was a beginning point, a type of what God desires to do through you and me. We looked at how the redemptive purposes of God came and met Mary and birthed something in Mary to be delivered through Mary to change the world around Mary. And this morning I want to look with you at the second part of that, how God birthed something in Mary. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1. We'll be reading from verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The search for significance. Every one of us here, at one point or another, or for most of our lives, are on a quest for significance. We want to know that our lives mattered, that your life made a difference in the world. It was in Mary that we see how God works through his people. God birthed something in Mary. He birthed in her a child. And Mary asked a very logical question. To paraphrase, "Yeah, right, God." She asked, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And God says to her, "Don't worry about the details. I'm going to do it supernaturally." And God met Mary, and God birthed something in Mary. The question for us today is this: what is God birthing, if you will, in you, in your life? I know that he is at work in each one of us here, doing something to bring us and make us significant in His kingdom. It was 1990. I was doing what I did every day, turning wrenches and telling guys to turn wrenches, to change the oil in that truck and to fix that tire and to put new brakes on that truck. And then God met us, not in a way that we had expected. As Beth sang the song, sometimes His blessings come through tears. And it was then that we found out that I had an eye disease and God met me. And He began, I think long before that even, to birth something in me that it took a series of circumstances to bring about to fruition. And I remember that when we left Michigan, December 23. That's a good time to leave Michigan. And head to California. And we left Michigan on December 23 and headed west. But the Sunday before that, we were in a church in Grand Rapids, and my uncle had said, "Russ, why don't you come up and tell everybody where you're going and what you're doing?" Now, I wasn't prepared for that. Now, if you did that to me today, I'd go, "Fine, whatever." But at that point, I get up there, and I'm one of these, oh, boy, you know, you're doing this number. and I'm a nervous wreck. Now, that's bad when you're going to seminary to be a preacher. Well, we went out west, and a little over a year and a half later, the church we were in considered, they saw themselves as a teaching church. And so they had about 10 guys that were in seminary. And so they allowed you in your 3 or 4 years of seminary to preach one time. Because I don't know if you know this, but not all pastors are preachers. And so they would show grace and let you preach one time. And then maybe more. We'll see how it goes. Well, the first time they asked me to preach was on Easter Sunday night. Now, this was a big church. And they had had 3 Good Friday services. They had had a sunrise service on Easter Sunday morning. They'd had 3 other services on Easter Sunday morning. So do you know who came Sunday night? My wife. You get the picture. I get to preach Sunday night. You know, out of a church of 1,000 people, I think 75 showed up Sunday night. I mean, what damage could you do to 75 people? But it was on that night that after I got done preaching, I knew that I knew that I knew. I walked down off of behind that pulpit, and it was one of those experiences where I could go, "Yes, this is what I was made for." But it took a long time for the birthing process within me to come to fruition. And it was then that I knew what God had made me for. And God is birthing and has birthed within each one of us here something of significance for His kingdom. If you would look at Colossians 1, Paul says this, "Of this I was made a minister, according to the stewardship which God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been made manifest to His saints, so that when God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God took an angry, rebellious rabbi named Saul and birthed something in him, the hope of glory, so that Saul, through Saul, the world would be changed, and we still today are receiving the benefits of what God birthed in the apostle Saul. In Galatians 4:19, Pastor Paul now says this, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." And that word there that he used, formed, is a word that we get metamorphosis, morpho. It's the word that brings a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's what Pastor Paul here is. He's in labor. His desire is that Christ would be formed, that your life would be transformed, that God would do a work in the lives of His people. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "For God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." God has planted within us. He has, if you will, impregnated us with the light of the glory of the gospel, so that through you, the world would be changed, because they see in your life light. The Spirit has been given. He lives within us. He desires a work through us to mold us, to shape us, to transform us. Hillsong United, that group out of Australia, has a song, "From the Inside Out," and the lyrics say, "A thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fails, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame." We have been given a treasure, as Paul said, in earthly vessels. We've been given a treasure in jars of clay, so that you never get enamored with the jar, but with that which is within. I remember years and years ago in Canada, somebody gave me a little replica of a little oil lamp that they would use in Israel in the time of Jesus. It's only about that big. And they passed it around and they said, "What do you see?" And you'd see the nice shape and the carvings and the little handle and the wick. And, "Oh, okay." And then they lit it. Then they asked the question, "What do you see?" You no longer saw the oil lamp, you only saw the fire. You only saw that which was burning from within. And so God desires to burn from within us. As you read through the story of God coming to Mary, you will note one very significant fact. and that God births this gift in Mary, who is a virgin. Innocence is key. Purity was required. And so God uses a virgin to bring about the birth of his child, to bring about an extraordinary birth. She had to be a virgin in order for God to birth that which he desired in her, to be delivered through her, to change the world around her. And if you're like anything like me, I've just lost you. Because you're going to say, right, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not the poster girl or boy of innocence or of purity. You don't know the stuff I've done, the doubts that haunt me in the middle of the night. Oh, yes, I do. Because in the mirror, your face looks much like everyone else's. You too struggle with the things from your past. If you're like me, you'd say, you know, you really wouldn't like me if you knew me. Do you know that's true? You wouldn't like me either if you knew me, because sometimes, and my wife will testify, I can be a twit. And so now what do we do? Well, come with me for just a brief journey. And let me paint a picture for you of how God sees you. How he views you. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is from a special version. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, someday there'll be a new creation. The old things are still here and alive and well. Behold, some new things have come, like going to church and giving a few bucks. And that comes from the AWIRBC version of the Bible. Let me translate. That is the average, what I really believe, Christian version of the Bible. That's what I really believe, is that if anyone is in Christ, yeah, someday I'll be a new creation, and some of the old things have gone, because I see them front and center in front of me every day of my life. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Don't miss this. Not counting their trespasses against them. And most of us, I would suspect, if we're really honest, in the back of our mind, we go, yeah, right. If God only knew. And obviously you realize the ridiculousness of that statement. If God only knew. He does. And he says, I've decided, I have chosen to no longer count your trespasses against you. I've taken them out of the way. Maybe you're still not convinced. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And we go, yeah, I know. That's why I'm nervous. Can we talk? Don't be deceived, Paul says. Don't worry, I'm not. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor thieves, nor the covetors, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And we go, yeah, I know. That's why I'm a little concerned. Because I know where I've been. But Paul doesn't stop there. We need to know he doesn't stop there. He continues. He says, such were some of you. But I love the word but. Because here he's going to straighten them out. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were made holy. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, that's good news. That's good news. Amen. If you've ever gone to Cedar Edge's high school graduation, they have a sort of a tradition at graduation of they try to get a baby picture and then the grad picture of all the graduates, right? And, you know, you look at the baby picture and you go, oh, please, don't show that to everybody. And then you look at the grad picture and go, yeah, that's me. That's sort of, if you will, the picture that Paul paints here. At one time, you were this. Oh, man. But now you're this. You're washed. You're clean. You've been made holy. That's how God sees you. Still not convinced? Whose hands have you put your life in anyway? Do you know that in my hand, a basketball's worth $19, give or take? And that is literally all it is worth in my hands. But in the hands of Michael Jordan, that same ball is worth about $30 million. In my hands, a baseball is worth about $6-$10. But in the hands of Mark McGuire, it's worth about $20 million. It all depends on whose hands it is in. In my hands, you saw some of the shepherds with the staff. In my hands, that'd be a good tool, and you'd better get out of the way. Because I'm just going to run into you anyway. And... but you know, in the hands of Moses, you can part the Red Sea with that baby. It all depends on whose hands it is in. If you have 5 loaves and 2 fish, in my hands that makes a fish sandwich. And that's about it. But in the hands of Jesus, you can feed 5,000 people. It all depends on whose hands you are in. In my hands, a few nails will build a birdhouse. But in the hands of Jesus, you can bring salvation to the entire world. It all depends on whose hands you are in. Still not convinced? In February of 1998, the state of Texas prepared to execute Carla Faye Tucker for her participation in the murder of Jerry Dean and Deborah Thornton with a pickaxe in 1983. In 1988, this story came to national attention because Carla Faye Tucker had pleaded for clemency, pleaded for a stay of execution based on the fact that in prison, she had come to Christ. And she knew that in prison, she had a vital ministry that she had been doing and an ongoing ministry. And she pleaded for mercy from the state of Texas. She wasn't pleading for freedom. She knew she had done those things. She was pleading for mercy. And it got national attention in 1998 from the Pope to Pat Robertson to a number of other religious leaders pleaded with the governor of Texas to give her clemency, to stay her execution. But in February of 1998, unpersuaded, the state of Texas put Carla Faye Tucker to death by lethal injection. What's troubling about that story is that they put the wrong woman to death. Oh, Carla Faye Tucker had never once denied the fact that she had been involved in those murders. But you see, according to Scripture, they put the wrong woman to death. Because when Carla Faye Tucker came to Christ, Paul says, the old things have passed away. All things have become new. They put the new Carla Faye Tucker to death when in fact the old one had died years previously when she came and gave her life to Christ. She had committed her life to Christ and received forgiveness of all that she had done. The evidence was her transformed life. Because remember what God said to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." Do you know that when you and I came to Christ, God presented us to Christ not as this screwed up, messed up, tainted, dirty, muddy, filthy person, but He presented us to Christ as a pure virgin, holy and undefiled. The story's told of little Johnny. He was in first grade, and little Johnny had been told by the teacher that she gave them all a piece of paper, and she says, "I want you to draw on this piece of paper a picture of your family." And some of them were drawing elaborate pictures, some of them were drawing stick men. But little Johnny came up to the teacher and says, "Teacher, I'm so sorry, but I have messed up my piece of paper." With tears running down his face. And the teacher turns to little Johnny and said, "That's okay. Here's a new piece of paper. Start over." And do you know that in much the same way we can come to our God and say, "God, I have so messed up this day. I have so messed up this relationship. I have so messed up fill in the blank." And God listens and He smiles and He says, "It's okay. Here's a new day. Won't you start again?" You see, the question is not whether God can birth His life, His grace, His light, His life in you. That is not the question. The question is, Can we get past ourselves and believe what the Word of God says about you and me as believers? Can we believe that when you look in the mirror and go home and say, you know, I don't know what I see, but God sees someone who is holy, who is justified, who is, if you will, a pure virgin in His sight. That, my friends, is good news. That is good news. The bottom line is this: believe and live in freedom, joy, peace, even in the midst of the stuff of life. Don't believe and continue to live a life of mediocrity, a life of low living, a few dreams, of shallow living, of no joy and no grace. Mary came to God and said, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? And God says, I'll do it supernaturally. The Holy Spirit will indwell you, for nothing is impossible with God. When you and I come to God, we too can say, God, how can this be? How can you use me? I mean, really. And God smiles and says, I'll do it supernaturally. The Holy Spirit will dwell within you, for nothing is impossible with God. The Mary miracle. God has already birthed His life in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Won't you let Him do the work of taking His life and growing it and developing it and nurturing it so that He can bring that life through you to transform you first and then those around you so that the world can be changed? The Mary miracle. You think about that. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the gift that you gave to Mary. The gift of life, of overshadowing her with your Spirit, to birth new life within her, to be delivered through her, to change the world around her. And Father, I believe that according to your word, you have birthed new life within each one of us, the light of Christ, that we may know the hope of the glory of the gospel, that we may be a reflection of the face of Christ to a lost and broken world. Lord, may we be a people who live in the truth and the reality of that life so that people may see the glory of the gospel in us. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, for God's parting blessing? Baruch atah Adonai v'rishmareka, Ye'er Adonai panav eleka v'yehuneka, Yesa Adonai panav eleka v'yasimleka shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your laughter and in your tears, in your labor and in your leisure, until He come, until you come to stand before Him on that day in which there is no dawning and no sunset, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.